Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm embarking on a series of programs that I don't know exactly what the impact is going to be on my own life, but I'm going to be sharing with you insights that I've gained from the four most impactful men that have been part of my life. And it's been a fascinating exercise. I'm going to tell you how I got to it, and then I'm going to dive into the first of those four men. Who are these men, and why am I doing this? I'll tell you in a minute. I'll be back.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you for the gift of life, for the gift of spiritual mentors, spiritual fathers, people who pour into our lives to help us to become the people that you intend us to be. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of spiritual fathering. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be good stewards of those gifts that we've received from you through others, and that we ourselves would be open to sharing and to seeking further guidance, as well as being willing to give guidance. And we make this prayer, I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think this is probably one of the further manifestations of an impact of what happened in my life last year. I turned 60, 30 years married, and I went on the Camino, which allowed for this gracious disruption and has really shifted my focus, especially coming back on how do I want to live with the time that remains? How will I live in a way that is going to more fully bring a return on the investment that God has made in giving me the gold coin of my life and of my Catholic faith, and I want to give the Lord a tenfold return. And as you know, if you've been following along with recent programs, that's the theme of my 2025. And recently I began to think about a book called My Life in Retrospect by Hansers von Balthasar. And it's not a book he wrote at one point sitting down, but it was a series of essays that he wrote. I think it was beginning when he was 50. He wrote an essay, and he was sort of honored when he turned 50, and then 60, and then 70, and then 80. And so it's these essays that he wrote on these occasions, or maybe there were lectures given on those occasions where he was being honored for these different age milestones. And in one of them, it might have been the first one or the second one, so either 50 or 60, he said that one of the graces for which he was very grateful to God was that he was able to identify the three or four figures that were the, if you will, in the constellation of stars that shaped and molded his life in significant ways, or the most fully. Those who impacted him, who poured into his life in such a way that they helped shape and mold how he saw the world, how he was relating to his own life in the world, and in the actual details of how he lived his life day to day. And that came back to my mind, and so I started to journal around this theme. Oh, and there's one other theme that is connected to that. And it was something that once again reemerged to me recently when I was thinking about the Book of All Saints. This was a book of insights written by Adrienne von Speyer. She's the author, but it's insights into the life of prayer of saints and other holy men and women down through the ages. And one of the things that she brings out, and you might remember this if you listen to that program, that there were a number of very holy men and women, and even some saints, who did not bear as much fruit in their mission or grow in as much holiness. They didn't achieve the level of sanctity or the maturity of the use of giftings in their lives as they could have, because they weren't well led. They lacked the maturity of spiritual leadership or mentorship or spiritual direction to help shape and mold and pour into their lives so that they could become the Holy One that was fulfilling the mission that God had for their lives. And so I linked these points together, and it got me thinking about, well, here I am, I'm 60 and I'm 30 years married, and I'm at this inflection point in my own life where I'm reflecting on how is it that I want to live better, with a greater sense of correspondence to the call that God has for my life. And it got me thinking about this theme of who poured into my life, who shaped and molded my life in the most fundamental ways. And if so, can I come up with a collection of insights, a collection of themes or features of their impact on me that I could share with you? And I do this for three different reasons. The first is to be grateful to God for the gift of these holy men. I'm taking about four men that poured into my life and really shaped and molded me to become the man I am today. So that's the first one, is to really be grateful to God for the gift that God gave to me of spiritual fathers, men who poured in. The second reason is that it made me want to appreciate the different levels of how I, the different levels of impact regarding really how I see the world, how I relate to the world and my own life in it, and the things that I'm doing. And it was a bit shocking, stunning, astonishing that many of the fundamental themes that I talk about on the radio and that shape my spirituality were handed on to me by one or other of these spiritual fathers. Which brings me to the third reason why I'm doing this, and that is, my brothers and sisters, if you have not been poured into by a spiritual father, by someone who can be a great spiritual leader in to speak into your life, please seek one out. Seek out spiritual fathers who can pour into you, because as I share with you that these themes from just the first of the four men today, it became apparent to me I never would have come to these insights on my own. I never would have been able to figure out these insights on my own. The insights that you're going to hear today, these are things that I talk about routinely on the radio, but the reality is many of these insights I've just never read before in any book, never saw explained so simply and cleanly and clearly or profoundly as I received them from these spiritual mentors, and they equip me to be able to then recognize them and help interpret other writings when I would bump up against those themes. And so it made me realize, my goodness, we have, you talk about this stewardship, right? The what's considered to be one of the very oldest texts in the New Testament is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3, where St. Paul says, "What I hand on to you, brothers, first of all, is that which I received." It's that principle of tradition, that principle of you understand who you are and you orient yourself in the present, not so much by envisioning the future, but by being rooted in the past. You're rooted by what has been handed on to you. And tradition, that Catholic principle of tradition, is a manifestation of the Word of God, right? We think of Scripture as the Word of God, but so is tradition. And tradition is where the church hands over from generation to generation all that we are, all that we have that makes us who we are. That very process of handing on is tradition, tradere, the handing on, the handing over, the entrusting of generation to generation. That's an essential task that is ours. And it is something that will impact not only how we're living today in terms of our own lives. For instance, who am I looking to pour into my life to help me today? And then secondly, who are those that are in my life that I'm supposed to be pouring into, that God has given me the capacity to share and to hand on, so that they too can begin to see and relate to the things going on in their lives on the basis of the gift or the graces or the insights that they got from us. So we hand on to others what we ourselves have received. I thank the Lord for that approach to like living life. That frankly is how I've been living on the radio, doing this for 20 years. One of the principal motives that I have is this sense of, all right, Lord, you gave me the opportunity to receive so much formation in the seminary and in the life in ministry and in studying theology that was given to me, but it wasn't only for me, it was for others. And so what I share, how I share it, the kind of things I try to bring out into the open and bring to you through the radio is for me a manifestation of the stewardship of tradition, of handing on what the Lord has blessed me with for others. So again, please think about that for your lives. Family is a very natural place where we do that, isn't it? How we hand on from parents to children, and then children to their children, and we begin to see so much of how we lived our lives showing up in our kids and how they're living their lives. But it can get more granular and fundamental. And that's what I want to bring out into the open today. And by doing this itself will be an act of tradition. So as I introduce you to the first of these four spiritual fathers today, Father Mark Noonan, and I say that name and you're going to say, oh, I hear you talk about him all the time. Through the years, weaving in and out. Oh yeah, you mentioned you heard that from Father Mark Noonan. You got that from Father Mark Noonan. Yeah, so he's one of those four spiritual fathers. And what's so striking to me is those four spiritual fathers share one thing in common. They all have the title Father. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really powerful. And I think it's actually, frankly, quite fitting and beautiful. It's I think, part of how God has shaped things, that for how many years have I said I look to priests to be our spiritual fathers, to help shepherd us through times of crisis in the church. And maybe it's because the three of the four fathers that I'll mention as being those constellations in the sky that shaped and formed my life, three are priests that I called father. And the fourth one is my own father. And so I will share with you over a handful of days insights and stories that come from the lives of the impact on my life of Father Mark Noonan. He was a philosophy professor and spiritual director at St. John's Seminary College in Boston when I first got there. And so I'll mention him first. The second is Father Mark Montminy. Father Mark was the pastor of the parish St. Marie's in Manchester, New Hampshire. When I left the seminary, I started to work as a director of evangelization in a Catholic parish and worked with him for 3 years and continued to stay in contact with him for many years after. And so Father Mark Montminy the second. Third is Father Tom Forrest. He was the international director of Evangelization 2000, and for 3 years I worked under him as the director for North America of Evangelization 2000, and that was when I went to Washington, D.C., and I was studying at Catholic University. This was the job that I had. And then last but not least, and last but first in priority in my life is my own father, George Curran, and he died about a year and a half ago. And so each of these four men are all father in different ways, three ordained priests, one my own earthly father. And as I began to think about, again, who really has impacted my life? Who really has shaped and molded how I see the world, how I'm living and relate to the things that are happening in my life in the world, and how I'm behaving day to day? It's these four men, among many others, but these four in particular. All right, when we get back, I'm going to dive right in and start talking about Father Mark Noonan.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Tom Curran. All right, so I'm starting with Father Mark Noonan. And say a prayer for Father Mark. He is in a priest retirement home now in the Archdiocese of Boston, and is again, for me, the first of these four three priests and my own father who shaped and molded how I live in this world. And my goal in talking about Father Mark isn't to regale you with stories and all of that, but rather to share insights. In fact, I have 12 insights that I'm going to share with you that when you hear them, you're going to say, oh, I've heard you talk about that. I didn't realize just how much it came from Father Mark. And the answer is yes, it did. Very few things do people make up. They learn it from someone, or maybe they read it from somewhere. But when you receive it from someone in the context of Father Mark, for me, it was he was on the seminary faculty at St. John's Seminary in Boston. And I went there as a junior in college. I transferred, and that'll be part of the story. I came from electrical engineering my first 2 years of college, and then went in and started studying philosophy in a liberal arts degree my last 2 years of college, and then went off to Rome. So Father Mark influenced my life as a teacher, and then as a priest on faculty. He would give, obviously he would celebrate Mass and give homilies. He would give talks, spiritual conferences. And then when I returned from Rome, I went to Rome for 3 years of theology school. And then when I came back, I started to work at that parish, but I started to then have Father Mark Noonan as my spiritual director. And so for several years, he was a director of mine, and he helped me during those years, and then ended up going down to Washington, D.C. to pursue a PhD at Catholic University. And he helped me discern that process and then stayed in touch with me for the years that I was living in D.C. It was easier when we would come to Boston to also visit with Father Mark, and that was when I was married to Carrie. And so I have just tremendous recollections or memories of the conversations that we would have together during those times as well. And in the couple of decades that I've lived out here, in times that were really challenging to me, I would call him and ask for his not only prayers, but for insights to help think through what was going on and how to understand it and what how to discern well, right? What actions to take. And I have a neat story as well about several conversations that I had with him probably 15 years ago. And I'll tell that story in a bit, but let me dive into these insights. So many of these insights would have come either in classes and or in our spiritual direction sessions. And so I'm going to break it up into two things. The first are these 12 insights. And then I want to share with you about three figures that he taught me about and was a mentor. He discipled me into the writings of two great saints and a very holy Jewish rabbi, whose writings, these writings have once again shaped and molded my life. And honestly, would I have ever have discovered these authors or really plunged into them to the depth that I have without Father Mark? No. So there's both the direct impact of the quotes, these insights that he shared with me, but then there's also the other figures that he handed on to me. That in those figures are Bonaventure, St. John Paul II, and Abraham Heschel. And so I'll talk after I go through these different quotes that he shared with me that I'm handing on to you. I'll talk about how those authors have also impacted my life and frankly, how I'm living in this world. So let me just start. I'll start with one that is, it's a basic framework for understanding the call to be a disciple. You hear a lot of people today talk about, oh, the basic formula for presenting the Christian faith, the kerygma. And this is something that we should be teaching is something about you created, and then there was a catastrophe, and then there's the act of redemption, and then there's the response that you make. So you hear that kind of framework. It's very popular. You know, sometimes it's four spiritual laws in Protestant circles, and then it's been popularized. I haven't found that as compelling for Catholics when I'm just talking to Catholics about understanding their own life of faith, because they're already baptized. We're already trying to follow the Lord as disciples. Instead, I have found it more helpful to use the framework that Father Noonan taught me, which are these three moments in the call of a disciple, these three moments in the vocation, the flow, the dynamic or the dynamism of being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And well, as soon as I say the three, if you've listened to the program for a long time, you'll know exactly what you're like, oh, I hear that all the time. Those three moments are call, poverty, and empowerment. And when I say those three, it's like when you unfold the meaning of those three. And I learned this from Father Noonan in his class on the human person. And he talked about these three moments. There's the moment of call. It's when do you have this moment where the Lord has broken into your life? You know, it's Samuel, right? Samuel in the speak, Lord, your servant is listening, right? Samuel asleep in the temple in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's the call of Isaiah. It's the call of Simon Peter, the call of Matthew. There's that inbreaking moment of the call. And then after that moment of the call, it's followed quite quickly with the moment of the acknowledgement of one's poverty or powerlessness or incapacity. So that moment of incapacity, that moment of powerlessness, is a fundamental moment in the call of being a disciple. If you've heard me, I use that phrase, praiseworthy desperation, that moment where we are utterly desperate, but in a holy fashion, not in a fashion that is despairing, which is a sin, but in fact, in a way that is turning us that much more urgently to the Lord out of the utter recognition that I am nothing and I have nothing that can address this, and I've got to go to the one who is my everything. And so the importance and power of poverty as a doorway to experience what? To encounter and experience God's power. That's the third moment, the moment of empowerment. And that's Pentecost. That's our personal Pentecost. That's God's power coming into our lives. That flow of call, poverty, and empowerment, I don't read it in any book on spirituality, and I've read a lot of them. You think of called and gifted, the called and gifted program. You don't have the called and powerlessness and gifted program. No, it's called and gifted. And it's like, you know what? The thing that we struggle with the most in our lives of just Catholic Christian disciples today is the moment of desperation. I shared this with you when I went on the Camino and walking this path of penance, and it's like, it made me realize, it's like, okay, the biggest challenge that church leaders and spiritual leaders have is that they haven't experienced radical, holy desperation. They might experience inadequacy. They might experience a sense of being a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of work there is to do and the amount of time and capability that I have to do it. But if a spiritual leader, a priest, a bishop, spiritual leaders have not experienced that radical sense of desperation, I'm utterly powerless and I am completely overwhelmed and I'm looking to you, Lord. It's the kind of thing where my daughter has run away from home and has threatened suicide, and I don't know where she is. My son is running around with a gang of kids that are doing terrible things and living a lifestyle that is utterly sinful and broken, and he's out of control, and I don't know what to do about it. I'm facing health conditions in my spouse, and I have no capacity to pay the bills, and the job I have is, I feel like I can't ever succeed, and I'm being just driven into the ground. These are circumstances, right, that evoke desperation. And to be able to be able to walk through those incredible, unavoidable trials, crosses of poverty, and knowing how to incorporate or relate to them is such a challenge today, because we don't have spiritual leaders who have existentially had to live that path. And so we hear all about call and we can hear all about empowerment, but we're not hearing about poverty. And that fundamental moment in the life of a disciple holds back the church in just so many ways. I learned about that from Father Mark Noonan, not in any spiritual book, not in any book on prayer or on the spiritual life. But you know what? Once Father Mark shared that call, poverty, and empowerment, and explained those three moments and how those moments map out against our own spiritual life, it was like the floodlights went on. And all of a sudden, I'm reading one of the greatest spiritual classics of all time. Again, because of Father Noonan, The Soul's Journey into God. How does the soul take this journey into God? And guess what I see all over those pages? Call, poverty, and empowerment. And, oh, wow, it's all mapped out in the Introduction to the Devout Life and in the Imitation of Christ, in the Dark Night of the Soul, or the Ascent of Mount Carmel. It's like, oh, it's there, but it's not called out in that simple framework. But once you see it, then you can see it mapped out there. So, brothers and sisters, you're called. You have a vocation. There's no accident. You have this gift, right? That layer in that gift message of John Paul II, it's there. There's this unique preciousness about you. But there's also, and you need to know that. You need to look into the eyes of the Lord so he'll reveal to you who to who you really are. That moment of encountering of Jesus changes everything. But then you'll also come into the moment of the cross, the unavoidable cross. You die to yourself. You will die to yourself. Thank God you'll die to yourself. And you'll experience that poverty. And then you'll experience the Pentecost moment of God's power. But do you know how to experience God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit falling on you? Have you experienced that Pentecost? Has the power of the Holy Spirit been released in you? That's what I feel a call to do, is write a book about those three moments of discipleship. It's because of Father Mark Noonan. And that's the stewardship I feel, because I don't see it laid out that simply, cleanly, and clearly in any book. But I think it needs to. And I had the privilege of being handed on this incredible matter, this stuff, by Father Mark Noonan. And just, I feel such a stewardship to hand it on to you. Okay, so that's just the first one. You can see I'll not likely get through 12 of these in the program today, but I'll get through a number of them. Okay, the second one is another one of these fundamental structures for how we understand the path of living as a disciple every day. It gets whittled down. It gets It gets condensed down to two words, discern and obey, right? Or listen and follow. So discern and obey, very fundamental, very basic. What's discern? You're supposed to distinguish or try to get clear about what God is asking of you right now. And once you get clear about it, you go do it. You say yes. You discern it, and then you obey. To listen, obey means to listen, but you're not listening unless you take action in accord with what you've heard. Discern and obey, or listen. Listen for the Lord. He's communicating. He's taking initiative. And then you take action. Okay. That's the structure that we get when we read the great spiritual writers, that they whittle it down, condense it, synthesize it. There it is. Father Noonan broke that open in a simple but profound way to help understand more fruitfully what it means to discern and obey. And he breaks it up into four words. And the four words are attend, discern, interpret, and respond. Attend, discern, interpret, and respond. And why does that make such a big difference? Well, it has to do with the way in which we come to discern and the way we come to actually obey. So let's start with the first of those words, right? Attend, discern, interpret, respond. So to attend means one, means what? Well, that refers to the basic stance of how we live our lives day to day. We're living in attentiveness with a sense of paying attention. You've heard the phrase expectant faith. The idea of expectant faith in one of its meanings is that as I am just going about doing what I'm doing day to day, my antenna are up. My antenna is up. I am on the alert. I have a spiritual sensitivity to the reality that the Lord is able to knock on the door of the right now moment of my life and draw my attention to something. And in drawing my attention to something, there's the attention, there's the attend part, is live on high alert. Live with a sense of expectancy that the Lord is going to knock on the door of your heart. He's going to prompt you. He's going to prompt me with some sense of I'm supposed to be noticing something. And when I'm drawn to notice something, I can then ask, Lord, why are you drawing my attention to this person, this situation, this relationship, or this reality right now? What am I supposed to be sensing that you are willing to have happen here? And so that's the discernment part. It's discerning God's will. God, what is your will? What is your purpose and plan for this right now? You've drawn my attention to it. Now, what is your will? I'm not saying I know what to do, but I'm trying to discern what your will is, which then leads me to the third moment. Remember the three words, attend, discern, interpret, and then respond. So interpret is that moment of saying, okay, Lord, if this is what you will to do in this moment, what is my part to play to cooperate, to collaborate, to participate in bringing about your will right now? I'm not going to presume that there is an identification of God's will and then I'm just going to go figure it out on my own, or you're just going to reveal your will. But no, you're going to reveal my part to play. I'm going to interpret what I'm supposed to do to correspond and cooperate to the will of God. And then there is the response part of it. And yes, the response is that now that I've been attentive and on alert, I've discerned this is what you want to have happen. I've interpreted this is my part to play. Now I've got to do it. And what's the mode of my doing it quickly and completely? So that's the map out. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how you can see that in a scripture. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Today I'm sharing with you some insights that I've received from Father Mark Noonan as part of a sense of an act of gratitude and an act of responsibility, an act of stewardship, of handing on to you some fundamental insights that were given to me by great spiritual fathers. Today I'm talking about Father Mark Noonan and some of the most powerful things that he shared with me in my through spiritual direction and talks that he gave or in his classes, homilies, etc., that have impacted my life. And I want to share them with you so that they can impact your life, so that you can live them and then hand them on to others as well. And so I mentioned I have 12, and I'm only on the second one, but the first couple are the biggest ones. They're really big and chunky and like framework kind of stuff. So the first one was Call Poverty Empowerment. The second one is Attend, Discern, Interpret, Respond. And I've used the example before, and I've given a whole radio program, a whole talk on it, but you can see this Attend, Discern, Interpret, Respond at work. So I'm going to do it in like 3 minutes right here in Acts chapter 3, the story of Peter and John going up to the temple after Pentecost. So they're going up to the temple for the evening sacrifice. They're going up there to pray. And they pass by a guy, a lame man, who's at the beautiful gate. Now, he's there every day begging, asking for money. And so every day, Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray. Every day, they're passing the guy at the beautiful gate. But this day is different because as they're going by, there was something that grabbed Peter's attention. There was something about, wait a minute, it's not as if, oh, we've never seen that guy before. Who's he? Maybe we should go check out what's going on. No, think about that guy as a fixture. He's the guy that was there, and this was his job. His job was to beg in order to get what he needed to be able to provide for his own life. That's the one thing he could do was beg. But today was a different day. It was different, not because they were going to pray, not because they were passing this guy, but it was different in God's plan. And that was the attentiveness. The attentiveness says, no day is an ordinary day. Any day could be a day of an extraordinary moment of God breaking in and doing a powerful work. Today was going to be that day. And so you can see it in the scriptures. Peter and John are going by, and all of a sudden they stop, they go over, and they say, Peter says to the man, look at me. And what I take from that is he's trying to figure out, okay, I've got his attention because, Lord, you've got my attention. Now, what are you doing here, Lord? What are you doing here? You've brought us to interact with this fellow. Now, what is your will? A normal person would say, well, he's begging and he's asking for money. He's asking for a donation in order to be able to survive. The most natural meaning would say, Lord, if you've drawn our attention to this lame man who's begging for money in order to be able to eat, is that you have called us to come over here and to give him some money. That is the most natural conclusion. That's what we would discern that you're doing by drawing our attention to him. But no, he discerns that God is going to heal this man. And so he ends up saying to him, silver and gold, I don't have any of that. And so his discernment is, I'm not supposed to give you money. And so, but he's saying, wait a minute, God's going to heal this man. He's going to heal the man who's lame from birth. It's going to be a miracle. And so now he has to ask the next question. Well, Lord, how are you going to do it? Do we just stand back and watch? Do we announce, hey, everybody, get ready. This lame man is going to begin to get healed. No, he has to interpret. All right, Lord, I've discerned that you're going to heal this lame man and that you've brought us our attention to this man because somehow, wait a minute, we have a part to play. Well, what's my part? What am I supposed to do to cooperate in your healing? And your healing of this man. And it's like, oh, you want me to take him by the hand to announce that Jesus is, you intend to heal him and lift him up and heal him. And that is a bold thing to interpret. Can you imagine being in a situation like that and discerning the Lord is asking me to announce to him Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is going to heal you. And it's my job to not just announce that healing and stand back, but to reach out my hand and take you by the hand and actually attempt to get you to stand up. You can see how risky this is, and maybe don't even realize it. It's risky because, first of all, it'd be completely embarrassing to Peter and to the cause of Jesus if he announced it, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he fell back over. Like, that's a big risk. And then in addition to that, well, guess what? That man's unclean. He can't go into the temple. And now if Peter touches that man and he doesn't get healed, well, now he's unclean too. And that would be disruptive of his ability to minister in this setting. And so there's a lot at stake for Peter to interpret that this is what the Lord is doing. And what the Lord is asking him to do is put it all out there and trust. And then you know what he has to do? He's got to do it. He's going to respond like immediately on the spot and completely follow the command. So you can see, attend, discern, interpret, respond. There is a lot at stake in getting this right. Imagine if he wasn't attentive. He could have been walking right by, saw the guy, and just kept going. Maybe there was a little prompting that said, pay attention over there, and he was like, that's my lunch. That's not the Lord. And then what if he attended but didn't discern correctly? He said, oh, the Lord's calling our attention over to that guy. I think he wants to heal him. No, it's just gold and silver. Here you go. We got to go to pray. The third would be, what if he attended and discerned correctly, the Lord's going to heal him, but didn't interpret correctly? What if the interpretation was, just announce it, but don't touch him. It's too risky. Announce it, but don't lift him up by the hands because that would be embarrassing. Maybe just shout at him, if you have the faith, you'll be healed. So what if he attended and discerned and interpreted correctly, and then all of a sudden the healing doesn't happen if these things don't if he doesn't attend, no healing. If he doesn't discern correctly, he doesn't heal. If he doesn't interpret correctly, there's no healing. And then what if he doesn't respond? What if he knows this is what the Lord is asking him to do and he doesn't do it? There's no healing. There's no miracle. So all of a sudden you can stop and say, oh my goodness, there's so much that God wants to do in this world. That is not happening, not because God doesn't will it, and not because God isn't calling people to take action, but God's people, that's you and me, are, guess what? Not attentive, or not discerning, or don't know how to interpret, or are frankly just unwilling to respond and take action. That's pretty dramatic. I didn't make that stuff up. That was Father Mark Noonan, who mapped that out, attend, discern, interpret, respond. And that changed my life. It changed how I pray. It changes how you pray tomorrow. When you go pray and when you go to Mass the next time, be attentive. The Lord is going to be drawing your attention to some word in Scripture, to some moment in the Mass, or in prayer when you're reading something. Be attentive. And then the Lord, you're going to have to discern, what's the Lord doing? What's the Lord want to do in this prayer time? Well, what's the Lord want to come in and touch and heal or mold? Or he wants to enlighten me about? What's the action he wants me to take? I have to interpret that. And then I got to take action. I got to give him permission to say, yes, Lord, you can do that. You can move in my life in that way. Or I'll take action, Lord, based on what I've heard. I'll repent. I'll give praise. I'll thank. Or I'll pray for these people and I'll just keep on praying, right? Attend, discern, interpret, respond. That's everything about how you live your life of faith. Father Mark Noonan. Thank you, Father, the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Father Mark Noonan. Okay. Let me continue on. Those are just two. let me talk about a third one, and I'll make this one a lot quicker. He taught me the difference between solitude and isolation. There's a difference between solitude and isolation. What's the difference? Isolation is being alone by yourself. Solitude is being alone with God. Think about that. Isolation is being alone by yourself. Solitude is being alone with God. What's the difference? I'll tell you in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Karn. I'm sharing some insights that I gained from one of the four that I'm mentioning to you, the four great spiritual fathers that were part of my life that have shaped me today. And I want to hand on to you insights that I learned from them to be a blessing to you. So this third one is the difference between solitude and isolation. Why is that a big deal? Well, isolation, that being alone by yourself, is a very common reality today. When I say that solitude, and this is again Father Noonan, being alone with God, is that you can take two people and they can be in the same location, and one will be experiencing isolation and the other will be experiencing solitude. And well, you say, well, what's the difference? God is present to both of them. And the answer is, yes, God is present in all places at all times to all people, but are we present to the Lord? And for the one who's isolated, that person, isola comes from the word island. It's like they're on an island. They feel cut off. They're cut off from God. There are people who are walking in this world, walking in the cool of the evening in the presence of God, but they are hiding from God's presence. They don't realize, and they feel like God's presence is hidden from them. And that is such a tremendous sadness, because that is not what God wills for us. God does not will for us a sense of isolation. God does want us to experience solitude. And so solitude is having this awareness, this consciousness of God's presence. And Father Noonan, again, broke this open for me, that solitude is that you are aware of God's presence, this God who is beyond you, the transcendent God who comes to you and is present to you through all that he has created. So everything in the universe, this space in which I move, the material world, so the space around me becomes a place of encountering God's presence, who's present in the world he has created. God is also present in time, in the moments, in the events, in the daily moments of the life I'm living. So God is with me. So typically it's the Father present beyond the world who's approaching me through the world. It's Jesus who is Emmanuel, God with me, God with us. I am with you always until the end of the world. He's with us at every moment, and every thought, every encounter, every meeting, every activity, everything, he's with us. And so that's the dimension of time. So the dimension of space, he's present. The dimension of time, he's present. And the dimension of spirit. So go within to the core of your being, to your heart. And there in your heart of hearts is the presence of the Lord. And so you are encompassed. You are completely surrounded inside and out in every dimension by the presence of God. And what we grow in as we grow spiritually, as we grow in our attunement to the presence of the Lord who's beyond us, with us, and within us, that's spiritual growth and development. And when we encounter people who are experiencing isolation, the cut-offness condition from the Lord, one of the incredible privileges we have is that the Lord would use us to draw near to people who are in isolation, self-imposed isolation, day-to-day walking in isolation, cut-offness. And he's inviting us to be a vessel of communication of the presence of God, to bring them from isolation into connection, contact, communication, and communion with the living God. It's one of the things that I discovered when I started to evangelize, and as a teenager, when I had this awakening of faith and this zeal for the Lord and this sense of wanting to be with the Lord in prayer and communion and scripture and going to mass and adoration, is that there was a way in which the Lord's presence was being fired up within me. And when I would go talk to people, it would become very attractive. People would be very drawn. And I thought they were drawn to me. They were drawn to the Lord in me. And I remember my older brother telling me that. It's not you. It's the Lord in you. But just to say, that sense of God's presence is what he wills for your life. He wills for your life. And so seek him in solitude. Come away from other things to be alone with God. That is a very powerful spiritual discipline, and it will nurture a deepened attunement and sensitivity to God's presence beyond you, with you, and within you, around you in the moments of your day and in the depths of your heart. He is here. He is with you. That's Father Noonan. What a great gift I received by having that type of truth poured into my life in spiritual direction over years and in the classes and lectures and homilies and conversations we had. To have that kind of truth poured into me, again, I can't find that anywhere. Well, guess what? It is in The Soul's Journey into God. It is in The Life of Francis by Bonaventure, The Soul's Journey into God by Bonaventure. It is in the great spiritual writings. But it's not said that simply and easily and succinctly, as it's said by Father Noonan to me. And now, hopefully, I'm a faithful disciple in handing it on to you. I hope that that's a blessing to you. All right, let me share one more. I think that's probably all I have time for, as I'll get through four. So that means tomorrow we'll have another eight to go through. So the fourth one is a little more mysterious, but it's connected to that concept of solitude, and it's about silence. And it's this: in silence, presence becomes manifest. Remember I talked about God's presence, being alone with God versus being alone by yourself? You're attuned to the presence of God. In silence, presence becomes manifest. And that is something that's changed my life. That simple sentence changed my life. He here is talking not about some spirituality first. He's talking about the human condition. As human beings, silence is a fundamental feature of living well as a human being. We can think about, oh, in the monastery, they're silent. And oh, in your prayer time, you should go take time to be silent. And the modern world is devoid of silence. Silence, Father Noonan would again talk about in his class that I took in my first semester in the seminary. My first semester as my junior year in college, coming from an electrical engineering background, and all of a sudden he's talking about silence. Silence is not the absence of noise, but in silence, presence becomes manifest. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? And it's like, okay, let me see, find an example. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Have you ever noticed, if you have never experienced this yourself, you can see it like in the movies and all that, where there's a newborn baby or a young baby sleeping in the crib, and a parent will go and gaze upon the baby. And the parent gazing upon the baby can just stand there and gazing upon that baby with eyes of love in silence will begin to just experience this welling up of love, of this desire to nurture and nourish and protect and care for, and just this total sense of just I love this little being, this little one. And it's like that happened, that emerged in that moment of stillness. And Father Noonan would say, in accord with the greatness of our Western philosophical tradition, that it was because we were attentive, we were still, we were gazing contemplatively at that child, that the inner hidden dimension, that the form, the essence of that child was permitted to come out into the open, was beckoned to come out into the open, began to manifest itself and disclosed itself to me because I was present with eyes of love, gazing with eyes of care and wonder. And as a result of that, the depth, the dimension of that one manifested itself to me. And I welcomed that one into my heart. Okay, I'm speaking somewhat poetically, right? It's very personal and deep. But I think you get that that's the kind of experience we're talking about here. In silence, presence becomes manifest. That's a fundamental human feature, a feature of the human condition of lived well. And you can imagine how that would also unfold in a spiritual dimension, which unfortunately I don't have time to talk about today. So I'll pick up on this one tomorrow. All right, I hope and pray that this is a blessing to you. God bless.